Good morning. This is LTS Semester 2. We are going to cover divine guidance. Divine guidance is another way to say being led by the Spirit of God. There are many ways to be led to make decisions other than the Spirit of God. And when we got born again, the Spirit of God came to live in our hearts. For many in the church, the decisions are still being made, and they're still making them that way, the way they did before, by assessing the situation, by what we see or feel, if the numbers line up and the Holy Spirit is only in play on a particularly spiritual Sunday, which is not the way God has it planned. Do you know God meant for us to all be led all the time by the Helper who lives within us, who has another name, and one of his names is a guide. He guides us. In fact, we need to check with him even if we think we have prepared for something. We may have a lot invested in it. We may not have listened the first time, but we may have a lot invested in it, and so we hesitate to be flexible and open to a change because of all the time we have invested. But God wants us to be open and flexible to him and check inside. So we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, our first scripture here. We're gonna stay here for a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And I'm sure you all know, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The sons of God should be led by him. Many, even in the church, are led by fear. And if you're led by fear, are you led by him? So when we're spirit-led, it should be familiar to the child of God. He lives within us. He's always there. It's not strange to us, just as if my father used to be able to call me. He doesn't call me now. He's in heaven. But he used to be able to call me, and he would never say, "Hey, this is Dad." He would just start talking, and I knew his voice because I had grown up in his house for 18 years. So if you read verse 15, it says, "For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Abba." So here it's telling us that we have received the Spirit. It's in us. I want to turn over to John chapter 10. We'll come back to that so you can leave your place there. But we're going to go over to John chapter 10 and verse 3 to 5, where it talks about sheep knowing his voice. So we're going to go to John chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. "The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name, and brings and leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never, on any account, follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers or recognize their call." When we get born again, we have the Holy Spirit in us 24/7. He never leaves us. He doesn't forsake us. And he is a heavenly gift. Now, go back over to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Holy Spirit makes us feel like we belong. So we're going to read verse 16. It says, "The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God." When the enemy's trying to mislead you, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be familiar. It will be strange. Don't let someone whom you believe is close to God, you may even believe they're more spiritual than you are or have been used by God in the past, to override what you have in your heart. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, especially when you're young in this, you go to people and you say, "Hey, can you pray with me? I need to know the will of God." I'm talking about when God starts leading you and you've got something in your heart and somebody else comes along and says, "Thus saith the Lord," and it doesn't witness to what's in your heart, doesn't testify, don't override what you have in your heart. You will always, that's your first line of defense there. First go-to is what God is telling you inside your own heart. You grow in this. In the beginning, you may be unsure of what is God and what is you. You may seek out others for their opinion of what God wants because you're not confident in your ability to hear. I have a friend, we met her in New York, and she was our good friend, that her husband for years was willing, as she was, to let her make all the big decisions. He felt that she was more spiritual than he was. Never mind that in the smaller day-to-day things, he was hearing and being led by the Spirit of God regularly. The Lord dealt with her to let him lead, even though it was hard on her flesh, because he was slow making decisions, because he was unsure in the beginning. As you continue to practice doing this, you're going to get more confident. So if it's the Holy Spirit leading, we have the same Holy Spirit inside us, and it will bear witness inside with your spirit. It may be new to your head, but to your heart, it feels familiar. When we were getting ready to leave New York and our church family there, they gave us a send-off, and there were lots of things spoken over us. They were great. But there was one young couple that we weren't real familiar with them. They spoke over us, but it felt off to us. It didn't feel right. Not because that we weren't very familiar with them, but because what was said did not feel right. Kenneth Hagin used to say it's like taking a bath with your socks on. Something's just not right. The devil is not dressed in a red suit and equipped with a pitchfork. That would be too easy to recognize him if he went around like that. The Bible says he transforms himself into an angel of light. What does that mean? Something that tries to come across as God, it's got to be God. Look at all the great pluses in this situation or this decision that I have to make. You know, this is lining up and this is lining up. Well, the devil can line things up as well. He's not out for your good mostly. He's out to deceive you. He's out to make you change the plan that God has for you. So we need to confess regularly, especially just like we confess him as our Redeemer and our Deliverer. We need to confess, especially when we're just starting out, "I am his sheep and I know his voice." And by faith, we agree with what he said. Don't say, like I used to, "I can't hear from God. I never hear from God." That is not what God says. That is not what God says can be. And so if we're dominated by our flesh, our feelings, our intellect, we can get hung up on not hearing anything. Why? Because you're trying to hear him out here in this realm with our head or our flesh. I was trying to do that. I was, 18, 19, and I just couldn't. I was like, "I never hear from God. You always hear from God." But I was trying to hear him with these ears. I was thinking, no one ever really taught that to me. So I was trying to hear him with my natural ears rather than my spiritual ears. I wasn't looking inside. I was waiting for something to manifest on the outside. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God." It says it bears witness with our spirit, not our intellect or our feelings. Lots of things could bear witness with our feelings. Most of them are not the will of God. How do we know we are a child of God? There's a knowing, a confidence, a witness with the Spirit living in us. We need to look for that witness with the Spirit of God for all the decisions in our life. We can look at the numbers. We can look at the favor. The circumstances may be good, but not good enough to make a decision based on those. We need that additional witness. Your spirit and his, you will know this is right. This is God. It is a perceiving, and it bears witness with our co-witness, who is the Holy Spirit. It will take patience till we get that witness, and we may have pressures and deadlines to meet. We usually do. Be careful not to make a decision just to get through, or just to be done, or just because I'm tired of dealing with this problem. I'm tired of waiting around with whatever the decision is that has to be made. It could be taking a certain job. It could be which college to go to, who to marry, or even where to go eat. Yep, you heard me. Because here's the thing, most of the time I don't think God cares. But what if, and that's why it's so important to check inside, what if there is a supernatural designation, liaison, that you are supposed to be on the path to meet, and you decide to go to Taco Bell rather than Wendy's? I'm using that as an example. So God's going to have to send somebody else there because that was on your path. Now, don't get into condemnation over not asking him for every little thing. But I want you to get used to the fact, just like we talked about, I think, Bob putting his, you know, asking God whether to put his shoe, which shoe to put on first. That is a training vehicle for just listening and being alert to who lives on the inside of you. God knows you have big boy pants or big girl pants on, but he wants you to learn how to listen to him. Search, wait, look, refuse to make the choice until you have that witness. It simplifies things, it protects you, and it keeps you on the right track where God has prepared for you favor and blessing. In Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5. Talking about leaning to our own understanding. I know this is one of your verses. It says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all of your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Goes on in verse 6, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Verse 5 says, lean not to your own understanding. Here you see the difference in being head-led and spirit-led. We have been brought up, I mean, ever since we were born, to be head-led, making a decision based on, I'm going to cry. Because when I cry, mom gives me a bottle or mom gives me food. You know, that's very simple, but we have been trained to make decisions with our head based on what we hear and see and feel and not being spirit-led. Well, verse 6, and we read that, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight your paths. That's our part, not God's part. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he knows everything, but he will not make us go the right way. We can't ignore him. We cannot acknowledge him or not bring him into the equation. You know, there's a choosing to ignore on purpose. And then there's the just not even thinking about it. Haven't been trained, haven't been taught. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's in there and he wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you. We need to give him place, full place, and yield to him. We should be asking and checking on the inside for guidance all the time. Check on the inside and say, Father, show me what to do. And it says he shall direct your paths. He's faithful to do what he said. Jesus, our example, was always led by the Spirit. Remember when he got baptized by John in the river and led then by the Spirit into the wilderness? He was aware of the Spirit, and he does what he gets direction from the Holy Spirit to do. Let's learn from the Master's example. The more that we walk by the flesh and by what we see, we are just responding to what we see and what we hear. That is being led by what you see or hear. Why could that backfire? Well, there are many reasons, one of them being that what you see and what you hear may not be the truth. And I'm talking about even from people's mouths. You know, we've experienced where someone looked like they were in need, they said they were in need, and they weren't in need. They were actually going to go spend that money on liquor. And so we need to be walking in the Spirit of God because we want to be led by His truth. He knows everything. If someone asks you a question or asks you to go do something with them and you just answer out of your intellect without checking inside, who is leading you? If, you know, someone, say Dylan comes up to you and asks you a question and by rote almost, or I know the answer to this, you just spew out very quickly, you know, we're to be slow to speak. And there's a reason for that, because we need to check on the inside, because sometimes the answer the person needs is not what you are supposing. Sometimes even the question they're asking is not what you are supposing. And so check on the inside. And what about if someone asks you to go do something with them? You know, our first instinct is, if we have time, you know, oh sure, I'll do that. Sometimes our hearts are such that we just want to be helpful. Well, who is leading them when you just pick up and go with them? Do you know that? Do you know, is this a God thing? Or is this something that they decided to do and now you have chosen to do it because you didn't check with God? So now there's two of you doing something that's off the grid, so to speak, because you haven't gotten the green light from God because you wanted to help your friend. And helping your friends is not bad, do not get me wrong. What I'm saying is we don't check with Him. Now what if, here's a for instance, you go with them and you miss the opportunity to be where you needed to be to help somebody else that the Spirit of God looked and said, they are the ones I want you to help. If we can't be in two places at one time. We can't, when we speak, we want what we speak to be Him. So it's a noble thing to want to help people. Our hearts are such that we just want to be helpful. That's a noble thing to think, but it's not always the right thing to do. The Spirit of God, our helper, wants to protect us, but He needs our cooperation. His first way to do that is inside. Check inside, because He's speaking to you inside. So if you're not checking, you could end up in a totally wrong place and get hurt. I think of the testimony, well, it's not really, well, it is a testimony. A woman I heard of, she got mugged down in the city and called the prayer line and said, I don't understand. I said, you know, the Lord is my, you know, quoting Psalm 91, you know, He protects me. And He didn't protect me. I got mugged. And so the person on the prayer line said to her, before you went down there, did you feel anything inside that would say, did you get the go-ahead from God? She said, well, no, I just said God will protect me. Well, she then came to reveal that He had put a check or no peace in her heart regarding going down there. Sometimes we make plans and rather than upend the plans, or it's already set in motion, we do the easy thing and just go ahead with it. It can get you hurt and possibly killed. we need to pay attention. There is an enemy out there that wants to take us out. And as long as we're paying attention and listening, that woman got mugged, but she had had a check in her spirit from before she went not to go, but she didn't pay attention to it and overrode it herself and said, God will protect me. That's from the enemy. Well, you need to be able to discern what's the enemy, what is God, and what is you. So you can put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. So let's cooperate with his spirit. What if someone is in need and it's a great opportunity? You know, maybe you got this great job opportunity. Can't pass this up. And so you don't even bother checking inside. Or that person's in need. Surely, I'm supposed to help them. This sounds harsh, but we can't be led by either one of those either. Jesus had compassion on people, so that a lot of the time there'll be a green light by the Holy Spirit as far as need goes, but not always. There are many factors in play which we know nothing about, but he does. We are to be led internally by his spirit. It takes discipline, strength, and knowing our God. Why does it take strength? Because some people will be watching and they do not understand your actions. It is totally natural to be supernatural. There are people that call themselves believers that will not understand why you do what you do or what you don't do. And they will be vocal about it, either to your face or behind your back. And that's why you need the discipline and the strength and knowing your God to trust what he's leading you to do or not to do. We want to do things the way that he did and operate the way that he did. Turn to John chapter 8, and we're going to see Jesus in action, who is our example. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. It says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning at dawn, he came back into the temple, and the people came to him in crowds. He sat down and was teaching them. When the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, they made her stand in the middle of the court and put the case before him. Teacher, they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now there's a couple of things that bother me about this. First of all, these guys were very disruptive as he was teaching, but their goal was to thwart him and catch him up. Very disrespectful. Had no regard for what he was teaching. They had their own agenda. They brought the woman who was only one part of the sin of adultery. This situation was a setup. The Pharisees at this point were being used as pawns of the enemy. He is the accuser of the brethren and is always trying to set us up, but he has been defeated and we know that. But be aware of the craftiness and stay in the arena of faith and be led by the Spirit no matter what you see or feel, and his tricks won't be able to work on you. His ploys won't be successful or effective. Learn how your enemy works. This is not to say that we should, you know, study out and be very well acquainted with witches and with all the other side of the supernatural. This is to say, be aware of how your enemy works, because he is crafty. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. Jesus was teaching and they interrupted the teaching. The enemy wants to get our minds off the word and onto something else. And on the one hand, they're saying, you know, they're saying, which decision? Look at verse, where are we at here? In verse 5, Moses in the law commanded us that such women, offenders, should be stoned to death. But what do you say to do with her? What is your sentence? This was a catch-22 for him. not for him, but they were trying to catch him in it, is that there were two decisions. He goes, should we stone her or should we not? Because either way he answered, they would have found fault with him. So, you know, a lot of times the enemy will come to us and say, well, what do you say? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? What are you going to do in this situation? And then the whole point of that is to put you in fear. And he tries to pressure us to pick or choose between two or three wrong choices. There's not a right choice that he gives us to choose from. But I love that Jesus chose C. He didn't choose A or B. He chose C. Because in verse 6 it says, this they said to try to test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. He totally ignored him the first time here. And then in verse 7 it says, however, when they persisted with their question, he raised himself up and said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. So this was his answer, which was neither. He didn't answer them directly on, yes, go ahead and stone them, or no, which would have meant that he was not keeping the law, so to speak. The devil uses, he likes to play on our lack of knowledge or our lack of understanding, and he uses fear and pressure to try to manipulate us. Everyone wants to know. They're waiting. We need a decision. These are what you hear around you, the pressure that comes to you. When you're ministering, you'll note that, you know, people are spirit beings and they can pull on you in a good way, but they can also divert you, distract you, go down rabbit trails, especially in a little group discussion maybe. They can get you entirely off topic, which is why it's important to be a good leader and be teaching and be divulging what the Holy Spirit has shown you to do rather than the rabbit trails. I'm not saying you can't have any trivial, I guess, any other outside the box conversation, but keep it on point, because I have found, I know a lot of times when I'm teaching Bible study, there is a tendency in the flesh, you want to talk, you want to, we just like to talk. People like to talk and they get off on rabbit trails. And then what happens inevitably, if we're there for an hour and a half or if we're there for an hour, the time runs out. And then what God has ordained to be taught in that session does not get taught. And I cannot tell you how many times there have been people that said, that was exactly what I needed. Well, what if we had not gotten there? What if we were thrown off because of the pressure? Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings and make them stop talking. We don't be rude, but we do keep to what God has said to do, because we care more about what he says. It's more life or death. So be sensitive to when others are leading, like in the Sunday AM service. We want to make sure God's getting done in any of the services, but we see it sometimes more so in the small groups. Be led, but be sure that it's him. Like when I was talking about the Sunday service, there are different parts to the Sunday service. So Kathy may lead the worship. Somebody has announcements. There's offering. We need to be led by the Spirit and be conscious that the Holy Spirit is talking through different people, and he has them set up to say what he wants them to say. And so we don't want to overstep, and we want to be following the Holy Spirit, not the human spirit. There's things that we can say a lot of times that would add to what somebody else says. I mean, you know, iron sharpens iron. But it may not be the right timing for that, because like I said, we want our people to be participating, but there are times that that can be rabbit trail. So that's why it's important for us to be led so that we don't drag something out and then the Spirit of God did not get the opportunity to be able to say what he wanted to say or do what he wanted to do. So you're going to follow either the human spirit or the Holy Spirit. The discipline comes when other things are pulling on you. And the first thing you need to do is acknowledge God's Spirit inside of you, and I want to be led by that. So in verse 6 of chapter 8, it says, "Then they said this they said to try to test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger." Jesus wrote on the ground with his finger. Do you think that's all he was doing? Don't you think he was checking inside, listening inside? And the devil, you know, he was cool under pressure. He was seeking. The devil's always trying to contrive artificial emergencies. And that comes with a feeling of alarm. In other words, you've got to make a decision. You've got to say something now. You've got to speak now. And if we respond to that and make a decision, what's leading us? Is it the Spirit of God or is it the spirit of fear? We're responding to that spirit of fear when we rush in as we are pressured to make a decision or to say something, instead of responding to that spirit, that Holy Spirit, which is a spirit of rest and peace. So we need to be led by peace. We're going to keep our finger there and go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. It says, "Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness is without which no one will ever see the Lord." Follow peace. In Colossians 3:15, another one of our verses here. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you are called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always." If there's no peace, then don't move. In Psalm 23, and we won't go there because I know you probably know it by heart, but it's a very restful scenario there, very serene. It's not chaotic. The fear is not there because the Lord is his shepherd. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, "Labor to enter into the rest. Get into and stay in the rest." That is the fight of faith. So go back to John chapter 8, verse 6, where Jesus is being tested here. But he didn't let them lead him. So in, we'll read verse 7. Here is where he chose the third option. "However, when they persisted with their question, he raised himself up and said, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.'" The question the enemy brings is that, what are you going to do? And the Spirit of God will help us rise up and respond his way. We are programmed to answer the question. I mean, that's when someone asks you a question, it is polite to answer the question. But don't yield to the pressure. Listen inside before you answer the question. Nobody wants to be impolite. Nobody wants to be rude. But let's listen before we speak, because when we speak, then it will be life and not death. Verse 8 says, "Then he bent down and went on writing on the ground with his finger." So he's back down on the ground again, writing with his finger. He didn't let them lead him. He's being led by the spirit of wisdom to know what to say or to do. And you won't get that spirit of wisdom if you the benefit of the knowledge and wisdom if you try to move too quickly and not wait for the witness and the direction. We're going to turn to Jeremiah 17:13, our last scripture, I think we're going to. So you can flip out of John, Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. They who depart from you and me, your prophet, shall disappear like writing upon the ground because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And I'm sorry, we do need to go back there because we didn't read verse 9, because that was the whole point of Jeremiah, is that these Pharisees were hypocritical. They were condemned when he said that. And so one by one, so we're going to go back over to John chapter 8 and read verse 9. Where it says, they listened to him, and then they began going out, conscience-stricken, one by one, from the oldest down to the last one of them, till Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there before him in the center of the court. Would that whole scenario have happened like that if he had panicked and just spoke out of his head? Or he got pressured and was on the defensive? The enemy not only tries to get us to pick between two or three bad choices, but he also wants us to choose sides. You know, and that's how offense gets in there. But, you know, they go, whose side are you on? And a lot of times we get pressured into choosing a side. Well, how does that have to do with being led by the Spirit? We're not having sides. We are one body, correct? And so that choosing of the sides, you can love people. They may disagree with you. They may not understand why you do what you do or why you are making the decisions that you do. But we can still love them and not have to choose a side against someone or for someone. So my session today is going to end just saying to listen to the Spirit of God. Learn to hear it. You're reading the book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God by Kenneth Hagin. Excellent book on the just nuts and bolts of how to do this, because it is supposed to be a very natural thing for the child of God. We just have to get into the not routine or habit, but we do practice the presence of God. We practice checking inside, we practice listening to that voice, waiting for that voice, having patience, and waiting on him to get the word, the green light or the check. And then we make our decision from that. Trust me, if you do that, you will have far less drama in your life. You will have far less failures in your life, because if we stay on the path that he has for us, we are blessed. Amen.